Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Well, it is an absolute privilege to stand before you and just to be a part of what God is doing in this church. In 2 John chapter 8, verse 8, it says, "Look to yourselves, that you do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." I want to read it out of the Amplified Version. It says, "Take care, look to yourselves that you may not lose, throw away, or destroy all that you and I have labored for, that we may persevere until you win and receive a perfect reward in full." And this was written by John. And John had been around for nearly a century. And this is what I call the grandpa anointing. And you know, when somebody's been around a long time, I am a granny and Manny is a grandpa, but we haven't been around as long as John. But I want to tell you something. God has imparted so much inside of us over years and years of knowing him. And he is getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and more wonderful even as we progress into our future. And yet he's saying to us, take care of yourselves. Isn't that interesting? It's that we have a responsibility to look after our spiritual growth. God has not, he's not going to do it all for you. He's given you and I a responsibility to take our lives and to say, Lord, we're going to run them and direct them according to your word and according to what we hear from you. And so it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And so many times, can you imagine the foolishness of a farmer who works so hard to clear his ground? And then he works so hard to remove the rocks from that ground. Then he works so hard to plow that ground. And he works so hard to plant the seeds in the field. And as he sees it all growing up and it's a week or two from harvest, he suddenly says, oh no, I've had enough of farming, and walks away. How foolish would that be, that he doesn't receive what he is meant to receive because he just gave up just before the harvest. And I want to encourage you today, you have labored in the things of God. And I want to say to you, don't give up. The time is yet to come when God will bring full reward and is going to reward you. I want to look, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. And if you look at the children of Israel, it's very interesting. They developed a pattern right from the word go of disobedience and groaning and moaning. The moment they came out of Egypt, God had miraculously delivered them out of Egypt. It did not take them possibly a day before they started groaning and moaning. And so what had happened is a pattern started to develop in their lives, a pattern of discontent, a pattern of not seeing the goodness of God in the little things. And so this pattern develops, and God would sometimes rebuke them, sometimes he'd overlook it, but this pattern developed until they came to a life-defining moment when 12 spies went into the land, the promised land, the blessing of God. And they came back, 10 of them, with an evil report. And the people, because of the pattern that they had established in their life of grumbling and moaning, latched onto the negative immediately and groaned and mumbled. And that decision God did not overlook. It was a life-defining moment. They lost everything that they had labored for. And I want to say to you, do not let a pattern of grumbling and moaning and negativism and dishonor creep into your hearts, that when God has a life-defining thing for you to walk into, you disqualify yourself and all that you've labored for is left and in vain. And there is a warning for us in that. We don't merely just obey God just out of law. We obey him because we know his heart. There's a huge difference. As you get to know this incredible God that we serve more and more, and none of us have ever arrived, we will not arrive down here on earth, but get to know his heart. Because if we get to know his heart, we will trust him that he has greater wisdom than we have, because he knows what's coming around the bend. We don't. When we walk, we do not see what's around the bend. And so it's a faith walk of trusting him that round the bend, he knows, and in his wisdom, he knows what's coming our way. Whether it's hard times or good times, he knows, and in the midst of that, he will walk you through it. I think the simplest way that we don't lose what we have labored for is to develop patterns of consistency. And how do we do that? We need to start honoring God's counsel. And how do we do that? How do you know what His counsel is? It's by reading the Word of God. I love the fact that the daily reading plan is going out. And you might think, well, goodness me, this is so boring at times, when you're especially going through Leviticus or Numbers, and it's all these begats, 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 and you have no clue what you're reading, and it makes absolutely no sense to you. But I want to encourage you, just by the fact that you are reading the Word of God, you are establishing godly patterns, so that when God does want to speak to you, He can use Scripture immediately to speak to you. And so let us build those godly patterns. Let us put in place disciplines. We all don't like disciplines. How many of you have got an Apple Watch or a TomTom or a Wada Wada Wada? How many? We all getting into these Apple Watch thingamabobsies. And can I tell you, that causes you to be disciplined, because you want to get your 900 points and you want to do your 10,000 steps. How much more does Jesus want us to be disciplined in the Word of God, that we can do 100,000 steps for the King and the Kingdom, 100,000 things for Him that are going to be worthy of far more than a good workout at the gym? And not that I'm against that, I really do enjoy gymming, okay? But the next thing, so that is how we're not going to lose what we have labored for, by putting disciplines in place, little things. It's the little things. It's really the little things, because honestly, if we do the little things right, when the big things come, we're going to know what to do with those big things. The second thing is, John says, but that we may receive a full reward and a perfect reward in full. Do you know that we serve an incredible God who rewards people? And you know, it's the most, he lavishes. He is a God who loves to bless you. He is a God who loves to reward you. He is a God that is the tendency, that is what He defaults to, because He is light, and in them there is no darkness. Not even a tiny pinprick of darkness is in our God. He is a good and awesome God, and His heart's desire is to bless you folks sitting here. That is His heart's desire, according to the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And what is diligence? Is the little by the little. It's the little things, the little practices of reading His Word in the morning, the little practices of praying when you're in your car, the little practices of constantly being aware of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, chatting to Him. Lord, I can't find my screwdriver. You will be amazed at how quickly He shows you the drawer where it is. It's incredible. That conscious, God consciousness of knowing exactly that He is right with you every minute of every day that you walk in. He says in Genesis chapter 15 verse 1 to Abraham, do not be afraid. And I say that to you, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. In Psalm 19 verse 9 to 11, it says, the reverent fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous forever, and in keeping them there is great reward. Do you know, the fear of the Lord is not something that you need to be afraid of. Can I tell you, the fear of the Lord is such a healthy thing. And the way I'd love to just describe it for you is, many of you have been to Hole in the Wall and climbed Whale's Back, okay? There are no fences on the top of Whale's Back. It's a huge hill that you go up, and as you look over, there's just sea. Boom, down there, you watch the dolphins going underneath, and you see the whales sprouting. It's absolutely magnificent. But, okay, maybe you haven't been there. So let's go to the Drakensberg. Most of you have been there. We go up the Drakensberg Mountain, and we get to the plateau, and we stand there, and we look at the goodness and the awesomeness of God. We turn our heads and we just see valleys and hills and greenery and shrubbery, and we see the dusties there, and we just exalt God. But there's a little sign there that says, do not enter. And that is the fear of the Lord. So you just say, oh, well, you know what? That just says, do not enter. That's not for me. And you glibly step over the barrier. And what does it do? Within a second, you find yourself right on the edge of a precipice, and you're looking down, and the rock that you are standing on has this huge crack through it. And right below you, it actually overhangs the whole of the valley. And you're standing on this rock that's got a huge crack. And you know that you weigh 160 Ks. And so you're standing there and you are thinking, dear Lord, why did I step through that barrier? Because one step in the wrong direction of disobedience to what God has put there for your safety can lead you to destruction. That is what the fear of the Lord is. It's a place of glorious freedom in who He is, with beautiful vistas and beautiful beautifulness of God. But when he says, don't do something, please, can I ask you with all my heart, don't do it. Because he knows that this will lead you to destruction. And so the word of God is very clear when it says, just listen to him and live in according to his principle because they bring life and he wants to give you life. So the question is, if there is a full reward, what do you think that maybe there's sometimes no reward and sometimes maybe partial reward? Are there places in scripture where you can get a partial reward or maybe get a no reward at all? There certainly is. And I want to say to you today, let's aim for the full reward because we're going to look at what those things are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus says that we will come to the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus is our sure foundation. We're not talking about salvation now. Salvation is set. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, that is the foundation. But it's what you build on that foundation. That's your rewards. And you can lose those things, okay, just by the way you live. And so what are we going to build on? Are we going to build with hay or straw or wood? Or are we going to build with gold and silver and precious stones? And so when we build with gold, silver, and precious stones, that's a full reward that you're going to get. If you build with hay, straw, you're going to lose. You're going to have no reward at all. And so I really want to encourage you to build well. And then the question might be, are those rewards just for heaven? Or are we allowed to get something down here on earth? If you're anything like our daughter, Tiffany, who is dancing up front here, she is so cute. We go on trips and we take on trips with us. And she'll say in the back of the car, she'll say, Mom and Dad, I was good, hey. I was good. Hint, hint, Mom, I was good. You know that flaky or that five-star, Mom, I was good, you know? And she wants a reward every time she's good, boy, I tell you. And it's a flaky or a five-star or a Fanta. Those are her rewards. But honestly and truly, it's not about that at the end of the day. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he said, godliness or spiritual training is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promises, listen carefully, for this present life and the life which is to come. So God's blessings are not just for us to receive in heaven. They are here for you down here on earth as well. And that is the goodness of our God, is that he wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to walk in all that he has. Proverbs 11 verse 31, it says, the righteous will be rewarded on earth. So, amen, I want to be righteous. And do you know what the Bible says? We don't walk in our own righteousness. We walk in the righteousness of Christ. I can do nothing of this on my own. As I stand in Christ, he makes me righteous. As I stand in Christ, I am saved. As I stand in Christ, he puts his Holy Spirit in me. As I stand in Christ, he enables me to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You do not have to produce these rewards and this lifestyle on your own. You have the Spirit of God inside of you, and he teaches you every step of the way, he is right there alongside you. Proverbs 10:22, the trustworthy will get a rich reward. And you know, we often think of that as money. Let's be honest, okay? We think, oh, give, give, give. But you know what it is? I believe one of the greatest rewards that God gives us is a greater revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we get that, everything else falls into place. It's a wonderful thing. So when Jesus walked on this earth, he interacted with all these different kinds of people. And the first one I want to look at is a partial reward. They only received a little bit of what God had for them. And I read out of Mark chapter 6 from verse 1. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, which was his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom from and the power to perform such miracles? And then they just thought, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon, and his sisters. Ah, they live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Can you imagine the scenario? Jesus, the Son of God, they'd been waiting for the Messiah forever, and when he came, they did not recognize him. And he stands in their synagogue preaching incredible wisdom. But they were deceived to think,
oh, isn't this Jesus who played soccer with my Jaime? Or no, he studied the Torah with my Benjamin. Oh no, actually he made my table like John made that table outside. He's a very good carpenter. Who does he think he is? Flip coming and telling us this? Oh, there's no way. He's just an ordinary person, just like us. And because of that, they lost part of the reward. Jesus said he could not perform many miracles there. It was not that Jesus did not want to perform many miracles, but because they dishonored him, wow, he could not. And so, folks, when we have a heart of dishonor, when we have a heart not to be obedient to the things of God, we can receive partial reward instead of all that God has for us. Very, very important. And so in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, he was not able to do. And I don't want that ever to be the case with us because of our unbelief and our dishonor. Jesus was not able to do all that he wanted to do in your life because of an attitude of our hearts. The key word is honor. And the literal word for honor means in the Greek to value something as very precious, like a diamond or a gold, but even more than that. Other definitions are to appreciate, to esteem, to regard, to respect. The opposite of dishonor is to treat as common or light and to be done away with like a vapor. It's like, he's just ordinary. What can we expect from him? He's just ordinary. He's got nothing really to give me, and we can lose everything that God has given us. Honor can be displayed in three ways. It can be displayed through your words. It can be displayed through your actions. You can honor somebody by your actions, but it can also be displayed in your thought life, which we don't see, but can I tell you, Jesus sees all the time. So you can despise somebody in your heart. Oh, the stupid idiot. You know, what did he do that for? My daughter would tell me, Mommy, not to swear when I say idiot, sorry. But honestly and truly, that is exactly what it is. We can dishonor somebody in our thoughts. We can dishonor our husbands just by thinking, oh, geez, irritating me, you know, or whatever. Be careful of your thought life because Jesus sees that much as well. And Isaiah 29, verse 13, and as much as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandments of men. Do you know that we can get religious so quickly? We can do all the right things. We can lift our hands, we can worship, we can do everything, we can serve, we can do whatever. But if your heart is not close towards God, you have gone into religion and you're listening to the laws of men. And honestly and truly, the fear of the Lord can very easily be taught by religion, where he's going to hammer you over the head if you don't do what you're supposed to do. But the fear, the genuine fear of the Lord comes out of a heart of devotion, where we are not afraid of God, but we honor, respect, value, appreciate him for who he is. True honor outflows from a heart that has a fear of Almighty God. So I want to think you to think of Jesus. He is the Son of God. He's filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. He's sent to heal the sick and to all that are oppressed by the devil. He could not fully do his commission because of their unbelief and their dishonor. So that is a partial reward. The next one is no reward at all. And we see this regularly throughout Scripture. It says we find an incident where Jesus is ministering, or he is invited to Simon, but not Simon Peter, Simon the Pharisee. So he's invited to Simon's house, and he goes to Simon's house, and while he's there, a woman from the street comes in, and we read this in Luke chapter 7, verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman this is that's touching him. For she is a notorious sinner. How did he know that? A social outcast devoted to sin. And the Bible says she was an exceptionally wicked sinner. Okay? Now, how many of you are exceptionally wicked sinners before Jesus Christ came into your life? All of us, okay? Even if you did nothing that you thought was like, you know, every single one of us. And then Jesus says, he turns to Simon. He looks at the woman and he turns to Simon. He says, look at this woman kneeling here before me. When I entered your home, you didn't offer to wash, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again from the first time I came in. You, Simon, neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with a rare perfume. I tell you, Simon, her sins, and they are many, will be forgiven. She has shown me so much love. What did she do? She honored, but him. Then the men around the table said amongst themselves, who does this man think he is, going around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. At that particular time, Simon the Pharisee got no reward. No reward. The men around the table, no reward. They did not even think to honor Jesus, but not only that, they dishonored him. And Simon said in his thoughts, he just thought to himself, does Jesus know who this woman is that's washing and touching his feet? Does he even know? Honestly, it was just a thought. And the men that spoke it was with words. And so what I'm saying to us is, let us guard our thoughts so that we do not in any way dishonor the Lord by the thoughts that we have in our head. And then the full reward. Honestly and truly, it's wonderful. There are so many scriptures about the full reward of God, because God is a lavish God. But this woman, this very wicked woman who had sinned hugely, received a full reward. Her sins were completely forgiven. She was set forth from that place free, and her peace was given to her. The peace of Christ was given to her as she honored Almighty God in what she did. And another example, we see this is a Gentile, which is very helpful to us because most of us are Gentiles, okay? Well, most of us. There might be one Jewish maybe person amongst us. But what a privilege that God opened the gospel to Gentiles. He just didn't keep it to the Jewish folk. He gave it to us as well. So this is a Gentile, and he is a Roman centurion. And he pleads with Jesus to come and heal his paralyzed servant. And Jesus replies to him in Matthew 8:7, I will come, Jesus says. And listen to the response of this centurion. He said, Lord, number one, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Just think about this for a minute. This is the conqueror. Rome had conquered that nation. He was the conqueror. He was a Roman officer with full stripes on both shoulders, however that entails. I don't know how that is. I probably missed the point there. But anyway, but he was a Roman centurion who had 100 men under him, and he was in a group of 60,000, and he was given the responsibility. There were only 60 Roman centurions in that whole time. And here this man, a big man in stature, comes to a Jewish carpenter, those that had been conquered, and says to him, I am not worthy for you to come into my home. How can a man who carries such authority go to the one? You know why? Because he recognized who Jesus was. He said, I also am a man under authority. He recognized something in this Jewish carpenter, this man. He saw the statue, he saw in the spiritual, he didn't see in the natural. And the Pharisees constantly saw Jesus in the natural. That's why they got no reward. It's when we see him for who he is that we receive our full reward. And what does Jesus say? He says, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and he said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Do you know what that means? That this centurion, a Gentile, had more faith than John the Baptist, if we believe scripture, not in the whole of Israel. He had more faith than the mother of Mary. He had more faith than the disciples. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, this man, because he honored me, a Gentile, had more faith than all of you. Because he honored me and saw me in the spiritual and saw who I really was. And he received a full reward. Instantly, his servant was healed of paralysis. Jesus didn't even need to go. He instantly healed him and he received a great reward. And right throughout Gospels, we see partial reward, we see full rewards, we see no reward at all. And honestly, let it be with us that we receive a full reward because of our heart, the words we speak, and our actions. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, it says, Jesus says, and the Word of God says, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. And so, and some even say, that some versions say, will be despised. And so I don't know about you, but I have the fear of God in my heart. I want to honor him. Not out of fear because of religion, but I want to honor him because I love him from the depths of my heart. So let's just have a little brief note of how does this thing honor work within our lives. You know, when we say the words, I receive you, I welcome you, I take you into my heart, what are we actually saying to that person? We're saying, I honor you, all right? And so in Matthew chapter 10, there's a huge portion of scripture. Matthew 10, from verse 40 to 42, Jesus is speaking, these are his words. He says, he who honors you, honors me. And he who receives you, receives me. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly says to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Now if you replace that word receive with the word honor, you'll see where I'm going to. He who honors you, honors me, Jesus says. He who honors me, honors the one who sent me. He who honors or receives a prophet in my name will receive, be given, a prophet's reward. He who honors a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And even one that gives a cup to one of the least of my disciples will receive a reward. So Jesus is covering all these bases. In those days, okay, let's start from the beginning. Where does authority, where does the flow of honor come from? It comes from God the Father. God the Father honors his Son. Jesus the Son, in turn, honors the Father. Jesus honors the Holy Spirit because he is God. And so as a result, the Holy Spirit lifts up and honors God the Father and God the Son. There's a flow of honor that is a constant going backward and forward between the three. But the beautiful thing is Jesus has placed the Holy Spirit within you. So when he says these words, he who honors you, why do people need to honor you? Because you house within yourself the very Spirit of God. He who honors you with the Holy Spirit inside of you, honors me, Jesus says. And then he goes on, and in a prophet in those times when he was talking, a prophet was one in the Old Testament who would speak the words of God. He would be a man of great authority. You think of Samuel in the Bible. He was somebody, when Samuel came, everybody knew Samuel was in town. The prophet's in town. Quick, let's gather, the prophet's in town. He carried something of the anointing of the and the authority of God. And so to me, that is people that are over us in leadership. It is those that we are under authority. It could be a church leader. It could be the government. It could be a teacher that you are under. It is somebody that's above you. It could be your boss, all right? It could be that's that layer of strata. And then the next one, he who honors a righteous man. Every single one of us are righteous in Christ Jesus. So that is your brother and your sister in Christ that we are called to honor. So that is those next to us. Then the Bible says, and those that are under you, that could be your children, and it could also be your servant in your home. Do you honor those that are employed by you because they are beneath you? So Jesus covers every strata of level, and he's saying there is honor for those that are above you, there is honor for those that walk alongside you, and there's honor for those that are beneath you. And if you do that, you will receive the reward that that person carries. So when you listen to the word of God, and you listen to maybe somebody in your congregation who's preaching, and you think, oh my goodness, this leader of mine is going on way too long. Actually, I can't wait to get to lunch. What are we doing in our thoughts? We are dishonoring the word of God. You know, you see the culture of honor work in Africa hugely. You go into an African poor context, and they will bring a basin of water for you to wash your hands. They will serve you out of the little that they have, and they will honor you because they see you as the man of God. And I think, I don't want to say this is the great man of God, because that's not what it's about. It's an attitude of heart towards leadership. Even our government folk, and we are all maybe guilty of it, and I put my hand up too, have we honored who God has put in power? Because the scripture says that authorities are not just put in power by anybody, they are put in power by Almighty God. And he puts those people in power. And it's for him to remove them when the time is right. And sometimes we can slander and we can go against our government. We dishonor. And all it is doing is it's going to harm us. So I want to say to you, if God has put a certain person in power, he may not be the most wonderful person, and his behavior might be detrimental to our nation or to the nations of the world, but it is God's job to deal with that man, not ours. So let us pray for him, honor him. We submit to leadership. and we honor leadership, but we do not obey leadership when they tell us to do something that is contrary to the word of God. And so God is even above the authority of a government, but at the same time, we need to honor those that are above us, and we will receive a reward. And so in Psalm 35, 37, in everything you do, put God first and he'll direct you and he'll crown your efforts with success. If God is number one in our lives, according to the first commandment that was given in the Old Testament, have no other God beside me. If we have no, yeah, that was Proverbs, sorry, that was Proverbs chapter 6, verse 3, sorry, not 3 verse 6, thank you, Manny. Yeah, that's why he stands, he's lovely. But you know what, honestly and truly, if we just can honor God in everything we do, and if you think about it, Jesus said in the Old Testament, have no other God beside me. Jesus reiterates that in the New Testament. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he says, in that, all the greatest commands are commanded. So Jesus has got to be number one in our lives in everything we do. So what happens when leadership insults you and leadership doesn't greet you? And leadership, just, I'm talking church leadership now, just doesn't have time to actually hear what you have to say, which could be often, especially if they're going to preach. They are 100% focused on bringing the word of God, and they might be rude to you. Well, do you know what had happened in the scriptures? It happened with head priest, Eli. And he wasn't a particularly nice chap anyway. He was enormously fat, okay? Not that that has anything to do with anything. But he just really wasn't particularly nice. And we saw Hannah come along. And here's a woman desperate. She's been harassed at home by Peninnah, her other husband's wife. Good idea not to have two. And honestly and truly, she had been harassed. She wasn't able to bear a child. She goes before God and she's weeping. And she must have been falling around on the floor and staggering. And Eli comes up to her and he says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 12 onwards, he says to her, hey, woman, shouts at her, how long are you going to be drunk? It's time to get rid of your wine. You know, and he shouts at her, this is like the leader of the church, you know, hey, come on, you know, and he just gives her a mouthful. What does she do? Hey, I'm going to sue. I will take you to court. That's defamation of character. Don't you dare speak to me like that. I'm never coming back to this church again. I am leaving right now. How dare he's supposed to be a man of God. He's supposed to love me with all his heart. And she walks out of the church offended. No, she did not do that. Listen what she does. She refers to him as Lord and she says, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. Regard not your handmaiden as a wicked woman. What does she do? She respects him. She honors him. He was rude and abusive to her, but she calls him Lord, and she says, I am your handmaiden. I will serve you. And she comes and she honors him. Why? Because her heart attitude was right towards her God. And he then says, oh, he has to little think, you know, okay, go in peace. The God of Israel will grant your petition you asked of him. You know, he must have felt the size of a pea, honestly, because he had dishonored this woman, and yet she, in return, honored him. And so, we recognize and realize that she then leaves and God rewards her. She gets blessed with a baby, and that baby is Samuel. And she had promised God that if you give me a child, I will give that child to honor you the rest of my life. Did she break her promise? No. When that little chap, 3 or 4 years old, she takes him and gives him back to Eli, the very priest that had abused her and been revolting to her. She gives this little tiny precious boy of hers, a gift from God, into this man's hands. And says, here he is to serve the purposes of God. And that little Samuel heard the voice of God early in his life because of the culture of honor that his mother had brought into his life as a result of that. So then we think, what happens to old Eli? You know, Eli had done a dreadful job of bringing up Ophni and Phinehas, his sons. They were despicable boys. They were priests in the service of God, but they did everything wrong. They messed with women, they did this, they drank, they stole. Listen to what it says in 1 Samuel 2:19. God says to them, to Eli, why do you honor your sons more than me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people. They were stealing the offerings, so they were dishonest, okay? The terrible things you are doing cannot continue. But I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who despise me, says Almighty God, the fear of the living God. I will put an end right now to your family. You will no longer be called my priests. Do you see, God is not unable to sort out people and to sort out governments and to sort out those in authority who are doing the wrong things. And from that moment forward, Ophni and Phinehas, the two boys, died. Boom. They did an unholy fire and God took them out. And Eli fell off a chair backwards and broke his neck and died soon after that. Can I tell you something? It is an awesome thing. When we see God in that light of when we cross over the barriers, be careful. He is still God and he is enormous and he holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. The oceans of our world, he holds in his hand according to scripture. So we are not to take him lightly. He has offered us incredible freedom in Christ, an incredible relationship with him. But let us know where the boundary lines fall. And then lastly, how does honor work within a church? I honestly believe that the church in the New Testament got this culture of honor right, where we would honor one another, we would serve one another, we would honor those that are beneath us, even in stature and in the world that we are living in. And the Bible says, then the churches throughout Judea, this is in Acts 9:31, throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Do you know it's so interesting that it says there that they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You cannot swap those two things around. You cannot say, let's have the comfort of the Holy Spirit where it's all nice and cozy and wonderful and we can do whatever we like. Grace, 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 greasy grace. Let's just live our lives. No, the fear of the Lord comes first. When the fear of the Lord comes first, the comfort of the Holy Spirit becomes a delight, becomes something that keeps us in that safe place in God, okay? And so it also says that they were multiplied. So as we walk in the fear of the Lord, honoring God in everything we do, honoring those above us, honoring those alongside us, honoring those beneath us, this church is going to multiply without a doubt. I do kids ministry, and I mean, kids, you are being amazing today because that we are teaching them the cultures and the principles of God's word. And we are just being such a blessing to those kids to be able to honor those kids and bring them through as little disciples in Christ. And then the last scripture that I want to look at is Psalm 128, verse 1-4. It said, blessed, okay, to be envied are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Not run, just walk, okay? It's okay to just walk. And even if you can only take baby steps, just walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. What did it say in the beginning when I started? According to John, he said, be careful that you watch yourselves, that you do not lose what you have labored so hard for. Here he says, as you walk in his ways, you will eat the fruit of your labor. You will receive the blessing down here and eat what God has prepared for you at a table set before you in the presence even of your enemies. You will eat of his goodness in this land. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Your wife, Manny, will be a fruitful vine within your house. Okay, woo. Your sons, we didn't have any, but our daughters will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. And folks, I want to tell you, as we go into this next year, let that be our heart's desire, that we want to honor God above all else, that we don't just want to honor him with our lips and just be religious, but when we come before him, let him see the inside. We worship God from the inside out. Don't just let it be an outside-in experience, but an inside-out experience, where from the very deep things of the Spirit of God inside of you, we honor him with everything that we have. And let us just know that he is Lord, and give him the respect and honor that he is due. And as a result of that, we will find that honor will just precede us. And even when you have these people come to the Alpha Course, people that don't know Jesus, the way you treat them and the way you honor them is going to talk about the King who honors and treats them so well. And so I really pray with all my heart that we will just go forward into this new year and receive full reward every single day of our lives, not just for one day of the whole year. But every day of our lives, may we receive from him what he has prepared for us, which is great and good things. Amen. Amen.